9. The Fifth Decision. Having settled such questions of policy as pertain to his individual relations to natural law and spiritual power, he turned his attention to the choice of methods to be employed in the proclamation and establishment of the kingdom of God. John had already begun this work. How might he continue the message? How should he take over John's mission? How should he organize his followers for effective effort and intelligent cooperation? Jesus was now reaching the final decision which would forbid that he further regard himself as the Jewish Messiah, at least as the Messiah was popularly conceived in that day. The Jews envisaged a deliverer who would come in miraculous power to cast down Israel's enemies and establish the Jews as world rulers, free from want and oppression. Jesus knew that this hope would never be realized. He knew that the kingdom of heaven had to do with the overthrow of evil in the hearts of men, and that it was purely a matter of spiritual concern. He thought out the advisability of inaugurating the spiritual kingdom with a brilliant and dazzling display of power, and such a course would have been permissible and wholly within the jurisdiction of Michael, but he fully decided against such a plan. He would not compromise with the revolutionary techniques of Caligastia. He had won the world in potential by submission to the Father's will, and he proposed to finish his work as he had begun it, and as the Son of Man. You can hardly imagine what would have happened on Urantia had this God-man, now in potential possession of all power in heaven and on earth, once decided to unfurl the banner of sovereignty, to marshal his wonder-working battalions in militant array. But he would not compromise. He would not serve evil that the worship of God might presumably be derived therefrom. He would abide by the Father's will. He would proclaim to an onlooking universe, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." As the days passed, with ever-increasing clearness, Jesus perceived what kind of a truth-revealer he was to become. He discerned that God's way was not going to be the easy way. He began to realize that the cup of the remainder of his human experience might possibly be bitter, but he decided to drink it. Even his human mind is saying goodbye to the throne of David. Step by step, this human mind follows in the path of the divine. The human mind still asks questions, but unfailingly accepts the divine answers as final rulings in this combined life of living as a man in the world, while all the while submitting unqualifiedly to the doing of the Father's eternal and divine will. Rome was the mistress of the Western world. The Son of Man, now in isolation and achieving these momentous decisions, with the hosts of heaven at his command, represented the last chance of the Jews to attain world dominion. But this earth-born Jew, who possessed such tremendous wisdom and power, declined to use his universe endowments either for the aggrandizement of himself or for the enthronement of his people. He saw, as it were, the kingdoms of this world, and he possessed the power to take them. The Most High's Evidentia had resigned all these powers into his hands, but he did not want them. The kingdoms of earth were paltry things to interest the creator and ruler of a universe. He had only one objective, the further revelation of God to man, the establishment of the kingdom, the rule of the Heavenly Father in the hearts of mankind. The idea of battle, contention, and slaughter was repugnant to Jesus. He would have none of it. He would appear on earth as the Prince of Peace to reveal a God of love. Before his baptism, he had again refused the offer of the zealots to lead them in rebellion against the Roman oppressors. And now he made his final decision regarding those scriptures which his mother had taught him, such as, "The Lord has said to me, You are my son, this day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Jesus of Nazareth reached the conclusion that such utterances did not refer to him. At last and finally, the human mind of the Son of Man made a clean sweep of all these messianic difficulties and contradictions. Hebrew scriptures, parental training, Chazan teaching, Jewish expectations, and human ambitious longings. Once and for all, he decided upon his course. he would return to Galilee and quietly begin the proclamation of the kingdom and trust his father, the personalized adjuster, to work out the details of procedure day by day. By these decisions, Jesus set a worthy example for every person on every world throughout a vast universe when he refused to apply material tests to prove spiritual problems, when he refused presumptuously to defy natural laws. And he set an inspiring example of universe loyalty and moral nobility when he refused to grasp temporal power as the prelude to spiritual glory. If the Son of Man had any doubts about his mission and its nature when he went up in the hills after his baptism, he had none when he came back to his fellows following the 40 days of isolation and decisions. Jesus has formulated a program for the establishment of the Father's kingdom. He will not cater to the physical gratification of the people. He will not deal out bread to the multitudes, as he has so recently seen it being done in Rome. He will not attract attention to himself by wonder-working, even though the Jews are expecting just that sort of a deliverer. Neither will he seek to win acceptance of a spiritual message by a show of political authority or temporal power. In rejecting these methods of enhancing the coming kingdom in the eyes of the expectant Jews, Jesus made sure that these same Jews would certainly and finally reject all of his claims to authority and divinity. Knowing all this, Jesus long sought to prevent his early followers alluding to him as the Messiah. Throughout his public ministry, he was confronted with the necessity of dealing with three constantly recurring situations: the clamor to be fed, the insistence on miracles, and the final request that he allow his followers to make him king. But Jesus never departed from the decisions which he made during these days of isolation in the Perean hills.